Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show, May 19th, 2004 edition. It's 9 o'clock Eastern United States time. We're about ready to kick the show off, but first, the promo, homo promo.
Oh, man.
Hi, folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys, or I wonder if they would review my product, or why don't they talk about this, or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow, or just how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel #TechShow. Hope to see you there.
Hi, my name is Calico Jack, and the voices in my head listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a supportive listener.
Yeah.
I think, is he listening right now?
Could be.
Could be.
Maybe.
All right. My name's Dan.
Are you listening, Calico Jack? I'm Link.
I'm Alan.
And we are here to talk tonight about the Linux Link Tech Show. And
streams.
So I figured we had a lot of changes this past week.
Stream.
A whole lot of changes this past week. Biggest being we upgraded to the Speakeasy internet service provider.
Yeah, baby. For more bandwidth. You know,
tripled our upload and quadrupled our download.
Bruce Link.
So now Alan can download his patches in the middle of the show, and it shouldn't affect the stream that much.
Yeah.
Not like it used to, huh?
Right. We also upgraded our software, running Icecast 2, now the latest version, and the latest version of Dynabolics fired up with, it's 1.3 version, so we're just trying to
suddenly
tonight.
Disappear, yeah. That's why.
It gets a little quirky there. We'll know. But everybody seems to be going pretty well. The only issue we're having is with the chat server. And I'm going to work on fixing that this week.
Which does work, although it's just a little...
Yeah, I had that happen originally. So
odd getting logged into it, that's all.
So, just be a little patient there. But, I listened to Lug Radio this past week. And I guess everybody here listened to Lug Radio this past week.
Yes.
And they had... they brought up our show and talking about the Linux Link Tech Show, and they had brought up the name the Linux Link, and they kind of was like batting around what it actually meant.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna mention that too, but yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, I thought, I'd just give a brief history and then talk about the future of where the Linux Link is going.
Oh, absolutely.
And about 5 years ago, I think it was, I I acquired the domain, the linuxlink.net. And the original intention was to be a print newsletter for Linux. You know,
if I recall correctly, the way it was explained to me was, Link, this is toilet reading.
Yeah, something you can take to the can. Because
right.
There was a lot of...
And the front page stayed on for about 4 years.
There was a lot of newsletters online, stuff like that. And it was something, you know, print material. Because my wife was in the publishing business or industry at the time. So, you know, figured we could write stuff and then she can edit it and we could put it out for a cheap subscription, do it quarterly or something like that. And I think this idea started before we even founded the Lug. So for about 3 years, my main page was this nice little marbled background from the GIMP, which is the Linux link in the center, and then the FAQ, which said coming soon.
Yes.
And it stayed like that for 3 years and never went anywhere. And
so a long time.
I eventually changed it. I added, I think, another link on there because I was handing out.
That went to the Lug.
Well, I was, yeah, the Lug, but there was another one that when I was handing out Slackware Live CDs.
Yes.
It was a little how-to on how to get started on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, God, when did it actually change? About a year and a half ago that I tried pushing it as the portal to Linux in the Lehigh Valley.
Right, and you made your first big change to it.
That was a big change, and wanted to showcase the Lug and the SIG,
mm-hmm.
and who else was it at the time? Well, the BC Lug, but they're not really in the Lehigh Valley. Richard Cicelli's
right
organization, Newspaper Systems, software consulting systems.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
SCS.
SCS Newspaper Systems, and then the other company that is in the area that does terminal servers.
Right.
And terminal services. Mm-hmm. Why can't I remember what the name of that company is? SFT
or something like that. Because they've never sent us any of their products to review.
I have their pamphlet over there. They were willing to come to the Lug meeting. You know, and up until a couple months ago, I changed it again for better reflection of what's going on in the Lehigh Valley. And just pushing information around through the consulting stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's stuff going on in the Lehigh Valley, but there just isn't updatable stuff. Like, yeah. It's not like a constant thing.
We're it, man.
And I'd love to say that there's a lot going on with the Lug. We have a meeting every month. We usually meet outside every month. But there is, you know, that's typical Lug stuff that's going on there. So I decided with the change over to the new IP address and the new ISP server that I go for a different approach for the Linux link, and that would be a portal to Linux radio or web radio shows.
Right, because that sort of reflects our current.
That's what we're doing right now.
Leanings and interests and stuff like that.
Right,
and but just for clarification, and I know they mentioned this on Lug Radio. My name is Link, and although like Dan and I have been doing this for, you know.
Forever.
You know, we've been doing this, like, together just about the whole time. He actually
together.
Got the... Yeah, he actually got the Linux link domain himself. Like, I had nothing to do with that, so it in no way... It in no way reflects the Linux link. It in no way reflects upon my particular nickname.
Right. So it has nothing to do with Lincoln, Fezzenden. Because he spells his name L-I-N-C.
That's
and
right.
Linux link is L-I-N-K.
L-I-N-K.
Ooh, so it's that
difference.
They didn't know me,
letter.
So it couldn't be the Linux Allen. So.
Yeah.
Right. So
but, you know, they wanted to know why wasn't it the Linux Dan or the Linux Allen. Well,
because
it's the Linux link, L-I-N-K, and that doesn't mean any of us kind of thing.
So we invite you to come check out the linuxlink.net and, you know, support the... radio shows that we have, web radio shows that we have listed up there, or if you know of a web radio show that's not there, that should be, you know, let us know. We're also going to start a 24-hour stream, which incorporates these shows, plus other material that we're going to mix in there. So if you're bored at work,
you never know what you're
going to
hear.
Around, hop on the stream, check
just
it
like
out.
You know, it's like a regular, like a radio, you know, regular talk show radio kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Only things that pertain to, you know, interesting crap.
Right, we're gonna have we're gonna be doing some throwing in some music.
Yeah.
From open source music and local bands and bands that are, you know, involved with the groups here that we have on the webpage. Because I know Lug Radio, Jono has a band.
Jono has a band, music. And I sucked a whole bunch of his. I don't know if it's a band or he just does it himself, but a lot of it's pretty good, and I sucked all his music off his webpage, and we're going to stick some of that up. And we have some other people, too.
Yeah, so, you know, make sure if you like what we're doing, spread the word. You can spread the word now, spread it far and wide, because we have more bandwidth. So. You can bring this thing, bring the whole thing crashing to a halt.
That means like two or three of you can listen now.
Right. So, and we're also looking for. Oh, what are we looking for? Mirrors. Stream
mirrors.
Right.
Yes.
And you're looking in live 395. Is that it? Or
365. Yeah, live 365. And that's a neat little service that they have. This company, Live 365, has set up to provide a stream relay. Now, we can do this kind of thing and relay our stream, which means that we would be able to provide a listenable stream to many more of you people out there at a time, either 50 or 100 at a time, 100 concurrent, you know, people listening at a time, for either, what did I say, $26 or $38 a month. So, you know, it's possible for us to start something like that. But what I really would like to know before I go and sign us up for something like that is if we're going to get some kind of, user support. Listener support, so that we don't have to foot the bill.
Look at Link with his hand out.
That's right. We want to be able to set up a little PayPal kind of thingy, and if you guys like the stream that's going on, you know, why not kick in a buck or two a month? If several people do that, we should be really good, and nobody have to come up with a big bill.
Sound like the Linux show
every
now.
Every month. Yeah.
Shilling out for money.
No, but they want like $50 a show or something like that, man.
I thought it was a dollar a day.
Nah, it's $50 a show. Sponsor a show for $50, man.
Well, no, I thought it was
I'm talking like $40 a month between all of our listeners, you know? Everybody kicking, you know, a quarter or something like that.
If quarter kick in like $5, we get a couple $100. We have a T1 going right in here.
Yeah, now you're talking, man. And we got some real stuff going on.
Dan's
there.
Eyes just lit up with that one.
T1, boing. Yeah, just as long as I can move in the basement or something.
So it's going to grow however we can make it grow.
Yeah.
You know, to the extent of our financial resources. If it starts getting bigger and people want to contribute, we're more than happy. You know, we could use your financial contributions to help extend the services.
So make sure they keep checking back on the website and stuff like that.
Right.
For some more information, if there are any changes.
I'm wearing the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Looks
good too.
I got my T-shirt today. Only 2 weeks later, and you're still waiting on yours.
I'm still waiting for mine. Yep.
I'm kind of bummed because I got to wait till the next paycheck comes in next week so I can order the other T-shirt.
Well, yeah, along with another Alan couple on shows it. And
the frightening T-shirt.
I figure by the end of June I should have the second T-shirt, but I have the bumper stickers.
Me too.
I'm kind of miffed because I forgot to bring the bumper stickers to the Lug meeting and give some out.
Mm, yeah, I did. I did too.
So it's kind of...
It'll happen.
I like to drive down the road and look in the rearview mirror and see the people oogling my bumper stickers. Uh-huh. That's pretty interesting. Got the nice little spread there. Goes across the back.
Would you plaster the whole back of your car with it? I haven't seen the back of your car. Right.
No, it's tastefully done across the back bumper. I was admiring it myself before I came in today.
Well, yeah, I have that. I have the one front that says, what is it? Without fences, there's no need for gates or whatever it is. And then the NetBSD one. Okay. I got the little Apple thing, which, you know, maybe after today's show I'll have to take off. And What else do I have on there? I think that's it. The lug. I thought there was another one.
Did you have like a PHP sticker or something in it?
Maybe that's that on the BSD. Side of my computer, I think. Is it the BSD one?
the Dean one?
The what?
The Dean one. That's on the van. Didn't you have Dean on there?
There was one, and I peeled one of them off to put the lug sticker on.
The right way to do it.
Because there wasn't any more room. Yeah, that was it. Because the bumper gets obscured by the license plate, which sucks. But that's the way it is. Buy a bumper sticker. Stick it up in your car or in your cubicle at work or whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Get the word out
Advertise.
There.
Yes. Advertise for us. This is your subliminal message for the evening.
Buy a bumper sticker. Stick it on a telephone pole.
Send us your money in firstborn.
That's right. Yeah, because firstborns can raise a lot of money. You
saw them over there in Thailand. To the T-Lug. Thai-Lug.
The Thai-Lug.
Thai-Lug. Maybe today Alan's going to talk, because we thought he was dead for the past week.
It's just I haven't had anything good to bore anybody with, basically.
Well, even at, a one-line post on your blog, like, I am alive.
I'll put that down every day. I'm alive, I'm just really boring.
It's Monday, and I am alive. It's Tuesday, and I am alive.
I can put on there, I got the CD drive for my that iMac that I bought at the computer show.
So you have everything installed on there, then?
Well, I haven't had it. I got it just after dinner today.
Did you get that off of eBay?
Yeah. Yeah, I picked it up off eBay for $48.
Yeah.
Woo! got myself a deal.
That's holy more expensive than a brand new
moly,
one.
Holy, man.
No, a brand new one, they want like $150.
No, I meant like one you could buy in a store, but I know you can't buy an
Apple. Buy yourself
one in
a store. DVD player.
Well, it's
because
it got
that
little nice little Mac, the little Apple symbol on it. But I slapped it in there. I owe myself $125
melting
now.
Melting some plastic onto the front of it. Like,
you owe yourself $125 for what?
Well, I figure that's what Mac, would have charged me if I had taken it to them to get fixed.
Oh, well, then you can go shopping, man.
Well, yeah.
That's the way women think, right? Save that $30, I'll go shopping with that $30.
Exactly. So I got to figure out what I want to buy. Now, so probably this weekend I'll be working on trying to get the Yellow Dog onto it.
You're going to go buy Yellow Dog?
No, I have that. I have that one already.
You know what you should buy? A KVM.
I actually see...
Everybody's buying them.
My question, and it just popped into my head, we didn't lose any monitors in this room. So you got everything plugged in, and we still have the same amount of monitors.
Yes, but he now has access to his server and his... Did you hook it up to your little printer box thing?
No, not yet. I had told you I had it hooked up to my... father's computer that I was installing Slackware on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other end. No, it was never my intent to take away a monitor.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I just was curious.
He
like,
just
see,
wanted
this
a way to access the
gigantic
stuff that he already had.
Of wires
right?
here.
Well, I just it's threw
nice
it right on
neat.
Top of it.
It's like a giant red light, staring at us. I'm like, nothing really changed in here, though.
Well, I didn't want to. My
Break
main
away
thing
the
is,
ambience.
I wanted to get the server. And the streamer and the future honeypot on here, and then have something that I could use for machines that I fix. But then Link brought up a good point that I can hook up the print server down there and Samba server and upgrade it.
Yeah.
Which I'll eventually do. That's one of the things. It works. So what if I have
it doesn't work, man.
So what if I have to run a cron job to kill
runs
the...
Runs a cron job every 2 minutes to restart his LPD,
It works. That was a... That fixed the problem up right there. I don't have to worry about it. Sometimes, when I send a print job, I have to wait a couple minutes.
Yeah, wait 2 minutes, right.
For it to kill. I got to be careful because if the print job takes longer than 2 minutes,
it does he kill it? It resubmits. Oh, man. You did.
The one
you had an 80-page print job. The first 40 pages print out.
The
first time I did it, I had it set like it was killing it like every 30 seconds or something.
Oh, man.
And I sent it. I was doing that article for Linux Gazette, which I'm surprised. Nobody must read the Linux Gazette because my article's been in there this month.
Oh, well, I haven't read it yet.
Well, yeah. Oh, but when I was proofing it, it's like, what, 8 or 9 pages or something. So I was printing it out, and all of a sudden it just kept printing. It would just continuous print. It would go through the 8 pages and print another copy, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? It's because it was killing the print server and restarting it. The job was still in the spool.
That sucks.
But, yeah, my article is in the LinuxGazette.net.
Woohoo!
The old original Linux
Gazette. The original good one.
Not the new one that Linux Journal is running. Not this. Not that I don't like the new one, but I figured I've always read the old one.
I like the new one, too, but it's not the Linux Gazette. You know? Like it is. Like they took the LinuxGazette.com, but it's not the Linux Gazette that I, you know,
that you remember.
Grew up reading. You have to go to the.
I didn't realize your article was in there since you didn't like tell anyone.
I was just waiting to see if anybody would say, hey, I was reading the Linux Gazette and I saw your article in there. So, yeah.
Wow.
When the show's over tonight, you can connect to the stream and listen to the 24-hour Linux link source and go over and read the Linux Gazette.
Right.
And you can learn how to make movie screenshots.
Yes.
Animated screenshots.
I already know how to do that because I helped you figure it out the first time.
Well, you can learn how you can stream audio into it.
Mm.
All right. Does that mint taste good?
Oh, it's awesome.
How many of those are you sucking down?
Just two.
So far.
My cough drops so that I don't gag in the middle of the show like I've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you'll be gagging after the show, big
boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at Alan smiling over there. He's thinking, I remember back in the day when he snapped that picture of me. I put it on his desktop. Yeah.
Yes, sirree.
And now he's going to make a t-shirt out of it this week.
Yeah, that's all I need. I got one t-shirt. That's enough.
Now,
we have to find something else to like be abusive with. We want people to buy the t-shirts, not be scared of them.
Well, all depends on what kind of crowd, you know.
Yeah, it could be attracting the wrong crowd.
Put an advertisement in alt binaries, erotica, Alan, or something like that, and see what we come up with. I don't know.
Alan will be like walking out the door to be like all these guys hanging around outside. Hey, big boy.
Yeah, so let me find out my number's been like, my number's been posted down.
You sure got a pretty mouth. Yeah.
Jesus. Wow. Remember last week when Jono asked if we
remember last week when we had something to talk about?
When Jono asked if we had people come up to us on the street.
Right.
Know? Maybe that'll
people,
all change.
Do people recognize you on the street? Yeah, sure.
Maybe that'll all change. When we get the other 4 people in this area listening.
Right. Well, you know, I expect things to pick up a little bit because, you know, we're doing this new open source stream thing and putting some more content on it and some
music
and stuff.
Well, now that we start to advertise this, we have some bandwidth now, so.
Yeah, well, we won't have to do all the advertising for ourselves anymore either. We put this stuff on because, you know, evidently I'm thinking, you know, some people will want to connect to the stream to listen to make to verify that Lug Radio is actually on the stream. And they'll want to verify that Slug Radio is actually on the stream and you know, people that want to hear their own music played on the stream and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll publicize itself a little bit and we can all reap the benefits of such a thing.
I smell the dog.
It's probably outside the
permeated
door.
The carpet, man.
It's burning its way through the door.
Dan's dog ate something tonight, but man, it was bad.
It's something or someone. I don't know, man. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
Coming back to haunt us. But,
what are the chances of the Linux show mentioning us? Slim to none?
Probably. Probably less than zero. For those of you who have no idea what the hell we're talking about, someone just posted on the IRC, what are the chances of having the Linux show, which of course is the original open source show, what are the chances of having them mention our stream? And, you know, if history repeats itself, probably very, very little. I did toy with the idea of inviting them or asking permission to play their stuff on the stream. But I just don't know at this point if that's something that we even want to chase after. What do you think, Dan?
I still smell the dog. That's all I know. And it stinks. Man. Where's that you? You want to know what really stinks?
Not me, not yet.
If you read the forum, you should know what really stinks, because I was true to my word. I was true to my word about that seat. That seat.
It's probably the seat.
The other day I came in here, I was like, woo, I got to stop sitting on there after I go for a run.
Yeah.
I got to be careful.
That could be it, man.
And speaking of this, I was thinking about this.
Could be chair stink.
Now that I've started running again.
Right.
I got to be careful, because when it comes time to go duty, right? Used to be
you're 2.5 miles out.
Well, no, that's the thing I worry about. But even when I'm in the house,
a little baggy
wherever I am, used to be like, oh, I got that feeling coming on, right? And I'd be there, you know, okay, half an hour tops, I got to get to where I need to go. The other day, I was like, sat down at the computer, I'm like, huh, I got that feeling coming on. I got a little while. I click on to check my email. Next thing I know, I'm darting into the bathroom. I barely had time to grab a magazine or something to read, and it was just starts coming right out. I have no time anymore. It just shoots. It's like my butt says, all right, lock and load. And it just fires it right off. I don't know. No warning shots. Nothing anymore.
Tech show, discussing farts at all times.
You know, how do our shows always degenerate into poo? You know? It's well, always maybe a poo thing.
It's the smell in this room.
Yeah,
it reeks. Holy mackerel. It's like an open sewer in here.
You start feeding your dog some breath mints, man. Maybe it'll pop out the other side.
Well, you know, my wife said, now, because she's got probably the stomach cancer, which is sad, but she's kind of getting a little wasting away. She decided to feed her twice a day now, and a big snack in the middle of the day. So that's why we have the explosive gas, more so than usual. But that's that, and she's peeing in the hallway now, too, because...
Oh, well, that's always good, you know.
Yeah, and the little one pees on you. we had a problem with the little one. Went to the bathroom outside once, because it couldn't get to the house in time, and now she wants to go outside all the time. Go out behind the bush.
Naturalist.
Anyway, is it time for a break yet, or could we move on to the applications of the week?
Why don't we do that after the break? We can do a break. We have a really interesting piece of break music. You know, like we, you know, tech show, we usually play a piece of open source music. This is not. Excuse me. This is not actually, you know, open source. However, we happen to know a gentleman in our lug who had a band and made some recordings and has donated that music for us to play on the tech show. And this band has a name, and I can't find it. There it is. Hadrian's Wall. One of those. Anyway. Hadrian's or Hadrian's Wall playing For So Long. And we'll be back. See ya. So long. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that? CBBC
presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Chunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know.
It looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Hack.
Which is one that looks like me?
Alan.
He doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, as so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Is his surname Lincoln?
No, his surname's Fessner.
His name's not Lincoln Lincoln. Lincoln. His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Link on.
The link on to Linux.
Link, anyway,
link,
again,
link, link,
we're
Lug
Radio.
Yeah, we're Lug Radio over in the UK. That's lugradio.org. Come along to our website.
We're British as well. We drink. We like drinking.
Yar.
So anyway, we're going to Lug Radio now because we're only been given about 30 seconds. Come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
My name's Michelle, and I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show because they make me.
Hey, here we are back after our 900 minutes of break time, sort of, kind of, right?
Not anymore since we split up that one promo.
We split it off into the
nothing
into the Windows trash can. Recycle bin.
Recycle bin, yes.
Something like that.
Into Link's Windows recycle bin on his laptop. What are you running over there, XP?
No.
XP Link?
No,
you're still back in 98, right?
No. Slack. I don't even think I could get Windows 98. Well, if I had, probably could. It's a 400 megahertz Pentium. Couldn't get XP to run on it?
No.
It'd run like a 486.
Well, yeah, well, you know, XP makes a 2.1 gigahertz computer run like a 486, but Slackware runs really good.
Yeah.
On a nice 400 megahertz laptop, though. Let me tell you what.
Slackware runs pretty good, period.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now we're whoring out for Slackware again.
Slack it is.
And speaking of Slackware.
Slackware and Splack. Is that the CD-based distribution, Splack?
That's not the one.
No, Splack is the one that runs on the Spark stations. Yeah. I have that running. What? Slacks. That's
Slacks,
what it's called.
Yes. Slacks. I downloaded that, though. I couldn't get it to work on my laptop, though.
Yeah, there's one for the Macintosh, too. What is it? What was that called?
Slackle Dog. Yellow Slack. No, what was that one called?
I don't remember what it was called. I need to try that.
Smackware.
Smack. It's called Smack.
No,
Slackintosh.
Slackintosh.
Yeah, that's it.
Patrick got it on the IRC.
Ooh, we got a pinky swear now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Slackintosh. And what is, there's, I forget what the name of that live distribution is. One where you just have the script and it'll create a live distribution for you, but it's based off of Slackware.
Isn't that with the Slacks distribution?
No, not the Slackware. That guy has that site, remember?
Yeah, but isn't it the same guy? He has a script to generate, it's Slacks, but he has a script to generate.
I don't know.
A CD from your working system, too. Or something.
No, I saw that. Let me see if I can find that one.
Go, Alan, go.
Go, Alan, go.
Alan, go. He's got to keep on trucking. He can never stop. Go, Alan, go. He's going to use his search. He'll never stop. Go.
Alan music.
Go, little Alan, go. Go, Alan, go. He's going to pull down his pants and stick it in Link's face. Go, Alan, go.
Go easy there, Dan.
Sicko! All right, anyway.
Dan just went off.
All right, applications of the week. Actually, two, because they go hand in hand, Link. Saudi Potty and Inkscape.
Inkscape.
Saudi Potty and Inkscape. The premier vector drawing applications for Linux. Beautiful applications. I'm trying to figure out what the difference between Saudi Potty and Inkscape really is, but I think the biggest, most notable difference is Saudi Potty is kind of like a GIMP interface, or, you know, if you're familiar with Adobe Illustrator or that type of interface where you have your document view and a side toolbar that floats around.
Right.
Whereas Inkscape has more of an all-in-one feature, like an office package almost.
Right.
So the toolbar isn't floating around. It's attached to the
document.
Toolbar
is attached to the document, right.
Mm-hmm. A little bit different layout on each of them, but essentially the same features. In fact, I think they use the same code bases, if I'm not mistaken. The tutorial for Inkscape is nice. It's the exact same tutorial that comes with Saudi Potty.
Mm-hmm.
But really great vector-based applications. Not that big. You can do some really sophisticated stuff. If you check out the Inkscape or the Saudi Potty websites, they have wonderful examples on there. I used Inkscape to create the penguin on the Linux Link, the new one, where your wife says penguin hump in the world.
Yes.
I also use it to create the stuff for the back of the T-shirt here. It's a really fun application, and they go Saudi Potty or Inkscape really go hand in hand with the GIMP, because the GIMP's not a drawing application.
Right.
It's an image manipulation program. So you could do your drawing and everything in Saudi Potty or Inkscape.
Or
and
X-Paint.
You could export. Right. But I like the sophistication of Saudi Potty. But you can export. Can you export to SVG and X-Paint?
I really couldn't even tell you.
So you can save it as an SVG, a vector graphic, or you can save it as a bitmap image, which is PNG is the default. And then you can import either one of those into the GIMP. Now, if you do the vector format, you actually import a path into the GIMP.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use paths that you create in Saudi Potty or Inkscape into the GIMP to do some really funky stuff. Or you could export your path from the GIMP into Saudi Potty. You could also import bitmap images in the Saudi Potty and use them in there. But again, whereas GIMP is not a drawing application, Saudi Potty is not really an image manipulation application.
Right.
You'd want to do your image manipulation outside of Saudi Potty or Inkscape. But really great applications. Check them out. They should compile on most modern distributions. I'm running them on Slackware Current. I ran them on Slackware 9.1, Slackware 9. I have them down on a laptop downstairs. It's really...
The Frankenstein?
The Frankenstein. Oh, I should bring up the Frankenstein laptop, too, now that you mentioned that, because there's another development.
What's left of it.
Yeah. But anyway, if you use Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, which is the premier vector drawing application in the commercial world, or Macromedia...
No, it's not.
Freehand. I said in the commercial world. What other vector drawing
applications? Which commercial world? Which commercial world?
The commercial software world. What other vector-based drawing applications are there?
Well, they use the real commercial world that makes real money off the stuff doesn't use Adobe or any of that stuff. They use gigantic SGI render farms.
Why are you going to use an SGI render farm to create a simple drawing?
Well, look at me.
Well, I'm talking about most of the desktop users.
You're talking desktop publishing.
Yeah, small graphic shops if you want to get picky about it. Anyway, that's what I'm talking about. That, Adobe Illustrator, most people associate with little Mac graphic houses and stuff like that. If you're running a Macintosh and you're doing any desktop publishing or even professional desktop publishing with a Macintosh, chances are you're using Adobe or Windows, Adobe Illustrator, or Macromedia Freehand, or the crap that Microsoft puts out. Anyway, you can do all that stuff now.
No.
Now, if you want to do desktop publishing from Linux, Scribus is the thing to check out.
Yeah.
It's,
I need to grab the new Scribus and check it out, man.
You do.
Because the last time I looked at it was a long time ago.
But it's weird. I don't know. Did you really play around with it? Creating documents in Scribus, it's a lot different than, a word processor or, God forbid, a Microsoft Publisher, which most people get the first desktop publishing experience with, or Apple Works or whatever. It's a lot different type of layout that you have to get used to. But anyway, Saudi Potty, Inkscape. Alan, you didn't post the links on the blog here. Not the blog. The IRC.
For
Saudi Potty and Inkscape.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't go looking for those.
Well, you should have.
I was actually looking for...
What's he
for
doing the, over there, man?
I was actually
doing.
Looking
he's
for
us
this.
Down again.
No, I actually found that Slack for the distribute these. You guys got some scripts here that will allow you to build your own live CD.
See, that's what I told you, man.
That's at slack.linux-live.org.
Slacks, right? He's the one with the scripts to build your own live CD.
Yeah. And I'll put those on because I happen to have them right here.
I knew it.
Somewhere.
So that was my application of the week. And now I did. I did design most of the new Linux Link site in Mozilla Composer, just so I could see how well it works, and it does a fair job. I ended up doing about 90% of my work in the HTML source view. But other than that, it worked pretty well. It's not as flexible as doing like Bluefish.
Yes.
Because again, I get right down into the HTML, but it does a pretty good job. And I grabbed NVU, which is, you're familiar with NVU, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to check that out too. Although I don't like, I wanted to compile it myself, but they want you to do funky things like compile it with the Mozilla source and then remove the composer from Mozilla source, and I didn't want a chance dicking up my Mozilla or anything, so, and it bombed on the compile anyhow, but it's kind of funky. It looks like it's pretty decent. I'll have to give my verdict a little bit later. But hey, the crapper of the week. Who's in the crapper of the week?
Who's in the crapper of the week?
Apple.
Uh-oh.
Apple with their patent of translucent to transparent window effect for application windows that have become idle for a certain period of time. Now, originally, reading some of
why
the...
Why would they want to do that? Oh, man.
Originally, when I saw Patrick had posted this to the lug list a couple, like last week, and I did preliminary looking into it, and I thought it was transparent windows that they were patenting. But it's the process where a window becomes translucent to transparent when it's been idle or unused or hasn't had focus for a while. And what they're actually talking about doing then is once it gets to a certain state that it's been unused, you could actually click through it and use whatever's behind it, but yet still see whatever application was running in there. Okay. So it's a little different than just transparent windows in general. Although you got to think, you know, it kind of stinks that some people are saying a patent war going on where the big companies are trying to patent just about everything that they can.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. And it's completely a United States phenomenon, too, it looks like.
Right, and the guy
somewhere wasn't like Microsoft had like patents like 31,000 patents this year they're trying to
push
through.
We're so friggin' litigious here over in the States that, you know, that like that's the only way any companies can think of legitimately to make money now is by suing
people.
Yeah, you're patenting everything they can think of down to tongue depressors or something, and suing the hell out of everybody.
Suing for mouse clicks.
Yes.
But, you know, that stinks because you think about that, the capability of OS X to be able to do that translucent window and a click-through. And it's kind of eye candy. Yeah, it could have some use, but, you know, if you want to use a window that's underneath the window, move the damn window. Or switch to another desktop.
Or minimize it, right?
Switch, yeah. You know what I don't understand? Why doesn't OS X natively support multiple desktops? Why not?
Because if Apple makes it an add-on product, they get to sell it for more money.
They might patent that too, right? Anyway.
That'd be tough.
I'm sure somebody's thinking about it.
That would be tough because I can see a lot of prior artwork going on with that one, you know?
But anyway, the whole translucent, transparent window thing. It essentially just brings to a head all that crap of the patents going around, and that stinks. Because now, if somebody in the open source community decided to implement the same kind of feature, they couldn't really do that if Apple had a patent to it.
Right.
Even if they didn't do the same code, it's just the concept
right.
that's patented. I guess they're trying to patent it before Windows puts out Longhorn or patents it for their Aqua interface. Wait, wait, what is the Windows interface, Alan?
Fisher Price?
Yeah.
Crayola.
Yeah, the swirling toilet.
XP reminds me of a Fisher Price computer that my nephew got at one time, with like big giant keys and buttons, and you know.
Did they really take a dump on the screen on that one? I mean, how could they actually look? The first time I saw that, I was like, oh, this is the. It's going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It is. It's blocky. Yeah. It's
it looked like a cartoon interface to me. It looked like they went from. You know, they went from like a fat magic marker to a crayon to, you know, a cartoon. Something that belongs in a Mickey Mouse show.
Incredibly terrible. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said, I have to use it at times at work and stuff. But, you know, when I work on other people's computers. But
what kills me is like we were talking about earlier with the fast machines. That particular interface runs so slow.
Because it waits. You mouse over something, and it's like, you know, a second before.
Yeah, you're going to wait like a second before the menu pops open.
Are you sure you want to, like, click on this button here?
And, you know, and then you got to move your mouse a little bit. And God forbid, like, if you roll off the menu within that second, then you got to start all over again, right?
Right back to the start button.
Right to the start button. You click on that, you wait a minute, the menu pops, you roll up over the thing, wait another second for the next minute, and roll over. And I don't really understand how you can actually get any work done doing that kind of stuff.
Well, how about the new control panel? It's like
that you can't get into, right?
You click on it, and then there's things over here, and then you don't know what's in the center, and you want to change the user's password, but it doesn't really let
you find it first.
It's like, how did this get easier?
How about checking network settings or something like that when they have the little panel on the. Panel on the left-hand side with the different stuff you can pick from, and then they have the big block of junk on the other side that you can pick from, and you can't figure out how to, you know, go in and look at your damn IP address.
Well, now they're adding a whole other sidebar, I think. Kind of like a search sidebar for stuff in your...
To really confuse things.
You click on the start menu.
It would have to be a search program because no one knows what they're looking for anyways.
And they were saying that, oh, it was so confusing. People didn't know how to shut down the computer.
and so they made it easier by making you go through three steps to click down, shut down. Because you can not only, even if you click on the first shutdown, you get another window that says, do you want to shut down the computer? Man, what the fuck? I did it.
Man.
I clicked it the first time.
Alan,
you know?
With the foul language for the second week in a row.
Sorry about that. You're right.
And it's not called shutdown.
And you still get three choices: log out, shut down, and cancel, or something like some shit like that.
Well, it's not called shutdown though. What is it called? Is it turn off computer?
Turn off your computer.
I think
it's
turn off computer. Yeah.
Because people couldn't
figure out
what
shutdown means.
I guess you got to figure if you go to start to shut down, kind of.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of stupid.
Ironic. But that was a crapper of the week.
And then shut it down.
And we have more crap of the week. And the Frankenstein laptop. New development.
Ooh.
Now, did you read my blog about that?
You have to have him use a keyboard on it.
Yeah,
right?
My daughter decided to pour apple juice out on. She had a little juice box and decided to squirt apple juice on it. And I had to take the. My wife said that all of a sudden just the screen just faded black. And that was it. I had to take the whole thing apart. Did you ever take a laptop apart before?
Oh, yes.
That is the worst thing in the world to take apart. You got all those little keys. You got to take it apart and put it back together in just about the exact same order you took it apart. You got, like, three different kind of screws that all look alike. And invariably, you forget what the heck went where.
This is where digital cameras, or at least video cameras, come in very handy.
Oh, you know what? I got it back together after I took it apart, and I have a little handful of screws and stuff left over.
Mm-hmm.
I just chucked in the thing. I said, you know what? You'll be lucky if the thing still works. Well, anyway, I got it back together, and it was booting up, but the problem was the keyboard wasn't working right. Well, you press A, and you get, like, a colon, and you press S, and you get D, F, G, H. So something got funky with the keyboard. And those laptop keyboards are a bitch because they got the little ribbon.
Right.
Instead of like a plug, and you got to fit the ribbon in there and a little clip that goes over top of it, and that sucks. because for some reason the clip kept falling out, and it was in a little space about this big, and this big by about, you know, maybe
2 inches by eight, about two inches
by an inch wide, and there was stuff over it, like you could slide under it, and the clip would come off and slide down underneath another component, so you have to turn the laptop over to shake it loose, and then screws would fall out and stuff. It was a mess. It was terrible, but I finally got it back together, and I said, screw it. I'm just going to see if it works with another keyboard on there, and it does. So now you can't use the keyboard on the laptop, which is good because the keys are just falling off like
falling off
like teeth out of a hillbilly's mouth. I mean, they're just there's three of them over there, I think.
Out of a hillbilly's mouth.
They're horrible. It just doesn't work. And you got this big laptop here. And you got this bulky keyboard. I got the biggest keyboard in my house I put on this thing. And it's slowly becoming a desktop instead of a laptop because it's not portable anymore. And
with all this stuff on it, you know, you just should have pulled the battery on it and just, like, dunked it in water and let it dry itself out. That probably would have cleared it all up.
It might have. But anyway.
You know you used to do that with old ham radio equipment and stuff. If it gets stuck in a flood or anything like that, you just flood it again and you let it slowly dry out on it, and that gets all the crap out of it and everything, you know, like the mud and stuff out of it if you got caught outside. So, I mean, it probably would have worked the same way. And if it didn't, well,
yeah,
it was dead already.
What are you out? Yeah, it's already broken and busted to a million pieces.
Right now. It's working all right. But now you have the power cord and you have the power adapter and another cord out of the power adapter, just like yours over there. So there's like two sections of cord.
Right.
And you have the keyboard cord, and they're all wrapping around one another. And then we kept losing the remote control downstairs, so we tied it to a basket. And then we got the remote control winding its way through it. It's this big mess. This big, huge mess. It's the Frankenstein laptop.
It
smells like apple juice when you turn it on.
I don't understand why you didn't just take the new keyboard and super glue it over top of the old one. You know what I mean?
I might as well, but it's just so big. I go to the show and buy one of those small keyboards, rip the old one out, and just right inside there.
I'm gonna get that one that lights up in the back, and it like glows blue.
Yeah,
I like that one there.
Ooh,
I ran out of money at the computer show. Otherwise, I would have got one.
Ooh, pretty.
So that's the Frankenstein laptop. It's going strong. It still runs like a top, though.
I'm absolutely baffled by that, man. Every time we come over, there's another piece missing, you know?
How can it get any worse? My wife was just about in tears when it broke.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. Friday night, last thing I want to do is take apart a laptop. They're so horrible. So horrible.
Yeah, that does. They do suck. Taking it apart.
Then you get it down to the part where you don't know if you could take anything else off of it, but it looks like you can, and you're worried that if you take something off, will it break?
Will you actually get it back on?
Yeah. Disgusting. Disgusting.
My problem
disgusting.
Is I always take things apart, and then I can just never, even though I know how they go back together, they just will never fit back together right.
That's when you jam it in there. Hit it with a hammer a few times.
I got the little Leatherman tool that I use as like a hammer.
Or you do that thing where you don't have the right size screwdriver to get the screw out, so you try and cram either a smaller one in there or a larger one, and you start to strip the head.
Press a little bit harder on it.
And then you get the screw off, and then you get it back on, but you strip the head so much that you're never going to get it off again, and you just figure, I'll never have the need to get this off again.
And then 2 days later, yeah. 2 days later, you're in there with a drill bit. Come on, it's got to come off, right?
That's what Dremels are for.
Oh. I like it even better when you use a drill to get a screw in or out, and it breaks the head off, and then what do you do?
Yep.
Then what do you do? That's stupidity.
Speaking of that stupidity, you guys know, but these guys don't know that they're listening, that I spent all weekend redoing my office at home.
It looks nice, too.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. You got to check
it
out.
It up live, but the pictures look really good.
Pictures are on the blog, and you really, in order to do, like, the story justice, you really have to go to my weblog and check the pictures out. Because I have a lot of computer equipment, and my entire dining room was my desk. and I and
what
I shortened
was your
it.
Dining room?
Yeah, what was my dining room was my desk, and I fit hardware that was like exploding off of my original desk. I reorganized and fit on half the desk space. So this took me, this really took me all week. I am still sore from this, man. I'll tell you what. I have a 21-inch monitor. The thing has got to be made of lead. There's, you know what I mean?
It's, like the Sun ones?
Yeah. No, it's worse than the Sun ones. It's, this thing has got to be like 90 pounds.
I brought home from work. It's like 19, and I thought I was going to kill myself right
upstairs.
You
think you're
going
to die when you move them things around. I had to move this three times, man. It's so heavy, and I have an inch-thick desktop, right? Inch-thick laminated desktop. It's so heavy that when I put it on this desktop, the desktop bowed like 2 inches. I had to send my wife to Home Depot to get a 2x12 to put this thing on because, you know, I was afraid that it's going to come crashing down through my desk on my knees or something like that. And that would have really...
Help, I'm stuck underneath my computer.
Yeah, no, that would have really sucked, man.
I've fallen and Link can't get up.
We just see a picture from one of the security cameras of him like sprawled underneath all
this. This is just a big monitor and his feet sticking out like the Wicked Witch.
And,
of the
no,
mask.
I'd be two monitors. I got two Jeez. Monitors on the desk. I got the 21 inch for my Linux box and a 19 for my 17 inch Sun monitor or SGI monitor.
It's good to know that your desk is a little more stronger than the wrestling table here.
One of these days, we got to get really good pictures of the wrestling table, man.
Yeah. We could put a Sun monitor in the center here, right?
No, I don't think so. Maybe one of the 15-inch ones.
Do they really need to make them that heavy?
I have no idea why they're that heavy, but those things are freaking heavy.
Kill
somebody I got a 24 on my desk at work. It's a 16x9. It's really nice for CAD stuff. It takes two of us to move it.
A Sun?
Yeah.
It's insane, man.
Just to move it around on a desk, it takes two people to lift the damn thing.
Oh,
it's just
man.
so unwieldy.
They're just huge. Yeah. And you swear that they got to have... Yeah, maybe they do put, you know, something heavy in the base on purpose just so it doesn't,
so it doesn't
flip
go
over,
anywhere.
You know? But holy moly, man. Anyway, yeah. Check out my... Because we're running out of time. Check out the blog and look at the pictures. I was definitely impressed. You know, my daughter was... I got a 10-year-old daughter. She's, cool. You know, she wasn't there the whole weekend when I spent killing myself moving this stuff around. But she really thought that the aesthetics were more pleasing than the original configuration.
So your daughter's happy now?
Yes, she is.
Is she using your computer right now?
No.
She's in there. Look, I'm going to power him off.
No.
Light a button. Light off button.
Why is the UPS beeping?
Yeah, beep, right. Beep. Honey, it does it.
Mine just went screaming at me earlier tonight. I guess it did a self-test, and it tells me the battery was bad. All of a sudden, I'm like sitting there, like here, just like, I'm like, what the hell's going on down there?
That's when you push that little button to silence the alarm, right?
Well, so I had to get behind the desk to get to it.
You know
first.
What? My last UPS I had used to do that, and I swear, it was like timed for 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, 4 o'clock in the morning when I have just fallen asleep like half an hour ago, right? All of a sudden, this thing has got a 190 decibel screech. Wee, 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 wee. Time to wake up and come press the button.
Luckily, it went off. By the time I got it out to where I could actually see what the hell was going on, the button, you know, it decided to silence itself. So.
Ah. Well, when I went out to fix my last UPS of squealing, I took my Tonfa with me, just in case I needed to have some persuasion. Because, you know, I only get like 3 hours of sleep a night, so, you know, if you wake me up a half an hour after I go to bed, I'm normally not in a very good mood.
3 hours.
So I was really, really going to fix that thing. But anyway, gentlemen, we are reaching the end of our proverbial rope for this particular show, which is show number... Anyone?
33?
33. 33.
What's 37 then?
37 would be one that's, you know, four shows away from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now is 33.
that little is that battery powered?
Yeah.
Alan's little cool battery operated fan.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, so this is show 33.
That fan should be pink.
I could probably dig into my wife buys these things all the time. I could probably find a pink one.
He's such a pervert,
really,
man.
What?
Dan wants a pink fan.
No, I mean for
you,
Alan.
You didn't like the light up one I had last week, so.
Because any guy that carries around his own little fan needs a pink fan. Right? No, I like that fan. That's pretty cool.
I like the light up one I had, but you know, I just happened to grab this one because it sits on a desk nicer.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
That's done it for me, so.
Show number, and there you go. For all you people who are complaining that Alan could not be heard and did not say anything in the last 32 episodes, well, we fixed that. So I can hear him just fine in my headset this time, and I know he said more than two words. So
yeah, I dragged the microphone a little bit closer this
time.
That's
right. This is the premier Alan episode. And if you would like to show your support, please rush immediately. Do not walk.
You'd like to frighten all your friends.
That's right. To cafepress.com/TLLTS and buy yourself the Alan T-shirt. Buy two, give one to a friend.
Or an enemy.
So they remember to listen to Alan as well.
Or make an enemy.
And if you happen to be a listener of the Lug Radio Show, well, of course, you can buy the Alan T-shirt and just cross his name out and write AQ next to it. They look pretty much the same. So,
and if you're lonely,
you can put it on a teddy bear and cuddle up next to it at night. And
at night, with Rosie Palm and
fondle
her five
his
sisters,
little fuzzy parts.
Remember that there's two Alan targets on that T-shirt you can aim for.
Oh man. I am not gay.
Doesn't matter.
Alan's quantifying it now. No, everybody, please.
I have to get the soundbite.
Just
like,
so we're
you know,
all
the
aware.
Critic, I think it was. I think it was the critic that he was always going, I am not gay.
I'm not. Anyway.
Doesn't matter,
this is
Alan.
This is our episode number 33, which makes, of course, 35 weeks. So far, which is, you know.
35 what? Weeks?
35 weeks. 33 shows,
technically
35 weeks.
Technically 37, but 2 weeks.
No, no, no. It's 33 plus
oh, yeah,
the 2 weeks
right. Why
is 35.
Why am I still thinking 37?
Yeah, you are. No,
it must be Dan's the farts in this room.
Were you like in Mexico City recently? Because I know they had.
It's the methane. You
know, no, Mexico City, they had the recent alien sightings and stuff like that. And I was just wondering.
Were you watching Discovery Channel or something?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, ball lightning.
It was all over the news. Yeah, ball lightning. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my whole freaking life, man.
What?
They have Mexico City. They have
it under like infrared cameras.
They have.
Oh yes, it's ball lightning.
They have this military plane flying over Mexico City, full of Mexico's version of the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. And they're looking for drug shops and stuff like this. And they pick something up on their radar, right? They pick up three blips on their radar. And since they're a DEA thing and they're looking for heat sources from drug labs, they're looking around with this infrared camera and they find 16, man, unidentified flying objects following this plane that they can find a heat signature for. So they start... They follow these 16 objects, and then
they're
after
following them.
Yeah, they followed the 16 objects, and then after a couple of minutes, the objects turned around, circled the plane, and started following the plane. Now, mind you, you cannot see these things except for infrared, and at least three of them showed up on the radar, which is how they found them in the first place. Otherwise, they would have never known. And then, after the military and the Mexican government reports this as a UFO sighting, they get some Yahoo with, what was his title? this guy?
Like meteorologist or something.
No, no, no. He wasn't. If that would have been legitimate if they called him a meteorologist. This guy was a nuclear researcher or something like that, right? Like, it has nothing to do with weather whatsoever. Some kind of a nuclear physics guy or researcher. And they question this guy, and this guy says, oh, well, it's probably ball lightning. Which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life, because there is not one property of superheated plasma or ball lightning that would ever apply in this instance whatsoever. First of all, like, there wasn't even any weather, right?
Yeah.
Where the hell do you get ball lightning from in clear skies? Or where do you get ball lightning from that's not burning enough so that you can see it?
That was my question.
Invisible ball lightning that flies in formation, that appears without any thunderstorms, that follows aircraft. You know what I mean? Give me a break, you know? And it appears on radar, too, right? You ever seen a lightning strike on radar? No. But anyway, yeah, I'm off on my tangent.
You're all burned up about it.
I just thought it was the funniest thing I did.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe I missed that. When was this?
This was
last week.
Last week, yeah, early last week. But it was funny, man. Pay attention to stuff like that, because that was so completely stupid. Anyway, I'm going to get off of this. We got to get off the show. This is Link from the Tech Show.
Dan.
Alan.
Alan, Dan.
Yeah. Saying goodbye, good night. Make sure you tune right back in afterwards to check out not only our stream that's going to revolve around, but the rest of the shows, too. We got Lug Radio episode number 7, which is going to be playing. Slug Radio, which is a Scottish Lug Radio, episode 0. And then we're going to slap some music and some other little ditties on there. Listen to it. Enjoy. Please.
Make sure you burn an OptiSticks disc and give it to your Windows friend.
Absolutely. And please, if you have any suggestions or things that you'd like to have included on that open source stream at the linuxlink.net, please email us and let us know. And until next week, have a good night.
Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Thanks
we'll see
for
you
listening.
Then.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thanks.
Pulling the Flink Tech Show.